Truth Espresso, episode 292.
Face it, we all would rather sleep in this morning. That's why God gave us espresso, to kickstart our zombified corpses into hyperdrive. And now, giving your mind and soul the morning shot of truth it craves. This is Truth Espresso with Daniel Minnick.
Well, hey there, friends, family, foes, and of course, lurkers alike. This is your host, Daniel Minnick, for another episode of Truth Espresso. And this one is going to be another short one. Just some brief thoughts, a little devotional. It's been another crazy busy week, and a lot of our family members have kind of gotten nasty sicknesses since the last episode that I did when I mentioned that one of my sons got pneumonia. So yeah, there's just this really nasty cold stuff, respiratory stuff, cough stuff. And I've felt like I've been battling it a little bit myself, but I don't seem to have it too bad yet. So we shall see. I'm still able to talk and record. And so we shall move on with another episode of Truth Espresso. And I would like to read a few verses that the Apostle Paul gives regarding running a race. The Apostle Paul seemed to be familiar with the early version of the Olympic Games at the time, and he would use it as illustrations for motivating his readers to strive for the gospel. And so I want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And see a few verses there, and also look at kind of a parallel verse in Hebrews that seems to mention running a race. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24, the Apostle Paul says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, that ye may obtain." Now, the Apostle Paul isn't saying that only one Christian will ultimately win the crown or the prize, the trophy at the end, but each of us should run the race as if that were so, as if only one person could receive the prize, so we should run in this manner to try to obtain that prize. Now, as I record this, on a Saturday this morning, my church that does Awana programs hosted the annual Awana Grand Prix. Now, what is this? It's not like go-karting or, you know, NASCAR or anything like that. It's a Pinewood Derby. So you have these cars that are made of pine wood. It's similar to the Scouts. You have a block of pine wood, and then you can cut it into the desired shape. And so kids that are in the Awana programs can participate, as well as parents, adults of those children. There's an adult section in which there are older teenage kids that have graduated from Awanas, or parents of Awana kids. They can participate in their own division of this Awana Grand Prix as well. So you start with a block of pine wood that you purchase, and there's a workshop day at the church in which you can cut this block into a desired shape. And ultimately, however you shape this wooden block, it is underweight as far as the weight that you need this car that you're making to have. Usually your block can be anywhere from 1 to 2 ounces, depending on how you shape it. But ultimately, you want this block to be close to 5 ounces. So what do you get in this kit? You get a wooden block, and you get 4 plastic wheels and axles. And these axles look a little bit like nails. So this block of wood will also have a front little groove in it and a back little groove in it, in which you would press these axles through the wheels into these grooves, and so you'd fit the wheels at the bottom, and you'd provide a little bit of space for the wheels so they don't rub up against the car, that there's enough space on the axles for these wheels that they can turn. Now, with this derby, there's no engine for these cars. You race them by having them at the top of a track that coasts downward onto the floor. And there's an electronic timer that once you count down and say go, you release the cars from the top, and then they race down to the bottom, and whichever one, by means of the weight pulling them down the curve of the track onto the floor and cross the finish, the weight pulling them down and the grip of the wheels on the track, whichever one crosses first, that will have a shorter time. And they do a bunch of these races, these Pinewood Derby races, and then ultimately they'll determine whose cars are the fastest by averaging out the rounds in which you race these cars. Now, weight distribution is important to win. It's not just enough that your car is close to 5 ounces without going over. It depends on where those 5 ounces are, and you need them in a certain place on the car, depending on the shape of your car. And there are some very creative cars in this Pinewood Derby, in this Awana Grand Prix. One was cut to shape and colored like it was a mine cart, and it had crystals in it. And the crystals functioned as kind of a weight for this car. Another one that actually won the day looked like an eclair. So a kind of a cream-filled donut, but not shaped like the donut with a hole. It looked like an eclair, and it had like kind of a white cream-looking thing in the front. And it had what looked like chocolate on the top and with sprinkles on it. This was one of the adult cars, and that one actually proved to be the fastest. So sometimes you could be totally blown away. You think you're shaping a car to look like a race car. You're trying to figure out how to cut it so it's aerodynamic. But someone could come along with something that looks like an eclair, and it leaves yours in the dust. So along with making it aerodynamic, what's most important is weight distribution and getting the wheels not to hold the thing down. There, you have it lubricated and such, but there's different rules. Like, you can't supply your own wheels. There's only certain types of lubricants you could use. You have to use the supplied axles or something that's strictly compatible. So you can't modify your car to your heart's content and get an unfair advantage. There's no engine in this thing. You can't use like a rubber band or anything like that to spring forward. It's all about shaping the car, where you put the weights to make it sail down the track and cross the finish line first. In the Awana Grand Prix, there's a category for speed, which one was the fastest, but then also, if you're not the fastest car, you could still win a design trophy if you really put the work in to make it look cool. Now, this year, my car did not win any category there. There are some engineering geniuses, I think, that know how to make things look good and distribute weight better than I can figure out. And I bring up this Awana Grand Prix as an example because having done this and realizing the patience that people have to put into making these cars, and they have the race in mind at the end, and they're training with it, they've practiced with it, they have the patience and endurance with the prize in mind, so they design these cars to go.
Hi, I'm Sharon Wilharm, host of All God's Women podcast and internationally syndicated radio show. I'd love to invite you to join me as we bring to life the stories of women in the Bible and discover their relevance for our lives today. Listen at allgodswomen.com, your favorite podcast platform, or at christianpodcastcommunity.org.
And we are supposed to run the race of the Christian life as such that we realize that it's a long race, but we are to run this race in the manner with the expectation that we should be the one person to win the gold. The Apostle Paul continues at 1 Corinthians 9, verses 25 through 26. He says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery," or the gold at the end, "is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown," in other words, the prize for winning the race, "but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air." So we know from these verses as Paul is not talking about actual, literal, physical exercise, or he's not telling his readers to prepare for competitive sports. Of course, the Corinthians, Corinth would host the Olympic Games. He's writing to them. They're all familiar with it. Perhaps some people in the Church of Corinth participated in these games. And Paul is using what they know about these games as an analogy for gospel ministry. So how does race and fighting make good illustrations for the gospel ministry? Well, they require discipline for enduring missions and for trials. We have to prepare for the exhaustion and thought of missions, and we have to prepare for the endurance of trials and persecution. But in all of this, just like with the runner in the race, we should have foresight of the goal, as far away as it might be. Now, what did Paul mean when he said, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, and so fight I, not as one that beateth the air"? And I tried to look at some various commentaries, but somehow I think that both of those statements about running not uncertainly and fighting not as one that beats the air, there's a parallel between them. They're not talking about two different ideas. I believe that the running and the beating that Paul is talking about are parallel statements. He isn't running merely for a theoretical race. He isn't merely training for the uncertain chance that he might end up in a race, because he is in a race, the Christian race. And likewise, he isn't merely one who beats the air as a fighter does in training for the big fight in the Olympics. Paul isn't one who's just training, who does shadow boxing. He is in the fight with Satan already. And so he's telling these Corinthians, let's not just train for the uncertain race or beat the air and train to fight. We are in the race. We are in the fight. So recognize that there's no avoiding it, because we are in it to win it. Now I want to look at the parallel verse in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, where the writer to the Hebrews, this is right after chapter 11, which is often called the Hall of Faith, and it talks about all these people in the Old Testament who by faith did certain things. The writer says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." So we run with patience. Now, in the Awana Grand Prix that I mentioned earlier, the Pinewood cars that went down the track the fastest were ones that minimized weight that would hold them back and distributed weight to boost them forward. You don't want the weight to push you down. You want the weight to push you forward. You need some amount of weight, but it has to push you in the right direction, not down so that it's harder to go forward. You want the weight to propel you forward. So we must lay aside the weight that besets us, and we must channel and focus our weight to moving forward. Now, the writer to the Hebrews also has in mind a longer race that requires endurance and patience. This is different from a short sprint like a 100-meter dash or 100-yard dash, in which you give your full speed right from the start. The whole time, you're running as fast as you can. You see the line to cross, and you cross the line in a matter of seconds. The Christian race is not a quick sprint in which you run as fast as you can from start to finish. In the Christian race, you hold back, you save energy, you maintain momentum, and you prepare for that burst at the end to win the prize. In the Christian race, some moments are more intense than others. Some moments of this race, we are pacing ourselves to maintain a comfortable momentum. Some moments of the race, we are catching our breath and cooling down with some refreshments and water at a pit stop. Other moments, we are pushing ourselves to the limit, and the tape at the end to cross is in sight. And we could even see in Paul's ministry all three of these. Some moments, Paul is traveling and, you know, maintaining a momentum, preparing to go from one destination to another. That would be the momentum. Other moments, he's in Ephesus for 3 years, just ministering there, probably not facing a whole lot of persecution, but he knows he's preparing for that sprint at the end. And then other moments, kind of like when he's at the end of his life and he talks about how he fought a good fight and finished his course. He sees the tape at the end. He sees the finish line in view. And so setting his sights on it, he enters sprint mode and he's going to run as fast as he could to cross that line. But in all cases, in all phases of this race, we always have in mind that we are in the race to win the prize. Whether we're maintaining the pace and the momentum, whether we are sprinting like mad, or whether we are in the moment of being refreshed at the pit stop to get some hydration, we are in the race. We have the foresight of that finish line to cross and to win the prize at the end. And for the sake of Christ, we will never give up. So these are just some short thoughts about running the Christian race, and I hope that this episode was helpful and encouraging to you to realize that we are in it to win it, and we have different phases of the race, and we always have that goal in mind. And so always run with patience the race set before us. And so stay tuned for the next episode of Truthspresso, and God bless.
Thank you for waking up with Truthspresso. Good morning, and God bless your day.
Hey friends, Daniel Minnick here again. If you liked waking up to this episode of Truthspresso, I would really appreciate it if you would rate it on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or whatever application you use to listen to Truthspresso.